Hello and welcome. This is Rabbi Mark Wilds on the line. Hello, Jake. Should I press 5? Okay, let's do this.
You can push star 5.
Okay. Good evening, everyone, and a Chodesh Tov. It should be a beautiful and special holy month of Elul. We know we've got 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and tonight is actually the second one, and it is a big, big zechus for me to participate in this 40-day challenge and direct the whole 40-day challenge. It's the book that I wrote that I know many of you bought, and I want to thank Jake Weinman for organizing all this, and Rabbi Shmuel Plotzker, who's going to be teaching all the nights subsequent to this recording tonight. This is a big, big project of mine that I started in the middle of COVID because I was trying to figure out a way to stay in touch with my Talmidim. For those of you unfamiliar, I run a program called Manhattan Jewish Experience, MJE, and we reach out to 20s and 30s in New York City and the tri-state area who aren't so connected Jewishly, religiously, and COVID was a really, really tough time all over the world, in particular in Manhattan. So I started this WhatsApp group, and more people started just joining. And one of my students said, you know, it would be great to write up the 40 that we developed for the Yomim Noraim last year and the year before. And that's how the book actually developed, 40 different pieces of Torah that all of us can learn together to be able to get ourselves ready for the Yomim Noraim, because we can't show up. And that's really one of the themes. I wanted to focus tonight on the introduction and on the first day, day one of the challenge. Now, the introduction is really about preparation. And preparation is very, very important idea. There's a famous line from Rav Soloveitchik, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, who said that Ein Kedusha B'li Hachana, there can be no holiness without preparation. And it really sums up why I decided to write the book. And when Bnei Israel gathered at Har Sinai to receive the Torah, they weren't told to just come, show up as is. God instructed them to take a few days to prepare for this special encounter. And to this day, every year, we count 49 days from Pesach to Shavuot as a way to prepare, right, for the day that we celebrate this amazing event of Matan Torah in our history. And the great Or HaChaim HaKadosh, I quoted him in the introduction, Rav Chaim Ibn Attar, lived in the 1700s, and he asked, if God took the Jews out of Mitzrayim in order to give them the Torah, then, you know, we should have gotten the Torah immediately after we were redeemed from Avdus Mitzrayim, from enslavement. Why did Hashem wait? Why did God wait 7 weeks before getting the Jewish people at Sinai and only then reveal to them the Torah? And Or HaChaim answered that they needed time to prepare. These were slaves who were steeped in Egyptian slavery, and they had to shake off some of that, if you will, the schmutz of Egypt before they could stand in purity before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God. They needed that period of maturation and adjustment to transition from being slaves to receiving the Torah. And we're no different today, right? We have important events in our lives, and we don't just show up. You know, when was the last time you just winged, you know, an important presentation at work, or if a guy is going to propose to his, you know, his would-be wife, he's going to think about, where am I going to do it? What words am I going to use? You know, it isn't just show up. We dedicate time to prepare. We rehearse what we're going to say at that next client meeting. And, you know, we don't always do that for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we show up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we expect to be swept away by the magic of the moment. But God gives us every year this period on the Jewish calendar, starting last night, Rosh Chodesh Elul, first day of the holiest month of the year, to take advantage. And I really think that if we can do this, and we can stay every day a little piece of Torah for the 40 days between now and Yom Kippur, then our Yom Kippur is going to be very, very different. And I also, I just mentioned that there are a lot of, I like to quote wisdom wherever I can find it, even if it's on the football field. And I quoted Tom Brady in my introduction, because Tom Brady, even though he had already won 6 Super Bowls, when he was preparing for the 2021 game this past year, you know, and he had already won 6 games already, 6 Super Bowl games. He was, you know, kind of a mashugana. He was sending scouting tips and films to his players at all hours of the night, and he had this crazy diet and workout routine from which he never veered. There was one teammate of his that Brady convinced to meet with him every morning at 5:30. When he would show up a little late, he would sarcastically greet him with good afternoon, like, you know, where you been? And, you know, if you're going to prepare for a football game, then how much more so do we need to prepare for the ultimate, you know, Super Bowl of the Jewish calendar, which is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And I wanted to add another Gemara, another important Torah source that I didn't include in the chapter. And it's a source that many of you might be familiar with. The Gemara says that Hasidim Rishonim Shoin Achas Sha'achas Lifnei HaTfila V'Shoin Sha'achas Achar HaTfila, that the early pious sages, they wouldn't just jump into davening. They would meditate for an entire hour before they started to daven, and then they would meditate for another hour after they were finished davening. Now, you ask the question, as I did this 3 times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Marav, wouldn't they have time to do anything else? But the point is, they didn't just jump in to tefillah. And we follow that minhag by having Psukei Dezimra, which is a whole section, as you know, in the tefillahs, in the prayers that we say every single day, weekdays, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. There's always a Psukei Dezimra. You don't just walk into shul or just, you know, take the 3 steps back, put the 3 steps forward, put your feet together and start davening Shemone Esrei. Shemone Esrei is tefillah. The silent devotion is the most important part of our davening. We don't just jump into it. We literally prepare for it by reciting some special kapitel of Tehillim, and we have that all the time. And it's just part of what we do to prepare and to be ready. Now, in the first chapter of the book, I spoke about second chances, and I talked about this famous Alfred Nobel, who was the Swedish inventor of dynamite, and there was this eulogy that was erroneously placed in the section of the newspaper, and it wasn't supposed to be. They actually made a mistake, and they put it in the wrong section. I just want to make sure everybody can hear me because you're all muted. I'm just texting someone to make sure that everybody is able to listen and to hear me. Hold on 1 second. There we go. Well, hopefully everybody's hearing me. Okay. So Alfred Nobel got this terrible eulogy like an obituary, really, in a French newspaper back in 1888. And it made a mistake. It erroneously eulogized Alfred Nobel, who invented dynamite, but it was really Alfred's brother Ludwig who had died. And the newspaper basically thought that Alfred died, and the reporters published this really bad review of his life because, and they said that he got rich by learning how to kill people. And then he realized, how is he going to be remembered? He got the opportunity to see his own obituary. It sounds terrible, but it's actually a big gift to be able to see what people are going to say about you after you're gone, after 120. He was able to recognize that he needed to make a change in his life because he did not want to be remembered as the person who invented dynamite and learned how to kill other people. So what he did was, after he saw that obituary, is he rewrote his will, and he then bequeathed his fortune to the Nobel Prize, which to this day offers leading scientists and peacemakers a way not to harm but to benefit humankind. And he was given really a second chance. And that's what the entire Jewish community is given during Elul Zman, which is a second chance. We have a very important tradition. A lot of the Hasidim and the Mekubalim write about that during this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is more receptive to our prayers. The great Hasidic master learned this from Roshner Zalman of Liadi, the Baal HaTanya, who used the metaphor of a king. Right? Where does a king live? So a king lives in the palace. And if a mere peasant wants to visit the king, it's a big deal. It could take months to get an appointment. And you have to first travel there, and then you have to go through all the gates and be prepared. But there are certain times when the king leaves his palace and he comes out to the field and he makes himself more accessible so that even a simple peasant behind his plow can see the king. And that's Elul, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the field. Now why, what is it about Elul that allowed Hashem in the field, that brought God closer to us, that our tefillot are that much more readily accepted, that the king is in the field? So many are familiar with this, what happened in Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul was the day that God invited Moshe Rabbeinu back up to Har Sinai to get the second Luchos. Now, in order to understand this, you have to know what happened 40 days before this. 40 days before today, Rosh Chodesh Elul is, or was, Yud Zayin B'Talmuz. It's a fast day. And one of the five reasons we fast on Yud Zayin B'Talmuz is because that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down with the Luchos after having been already on Har Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights. But what does he see? He sees B'nai Israel, he sees the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf, the Chet HaEgel. And he takes the Luchos, he takes the tablets, and he breaks them. And he goes back down to be with the Jews and to try to defend them and to try to save them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, is angry and he's going to destroy the entire Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he destroys the Luchos. He breaks the tablets on Yud Zayin B'Talmuz, but spends the next 40 days davening and praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael until Hashem says, it's enough davening, it's enough praying, come back. I'm going to give you guys a second chance. The day that Hashem told Moshe to come back was 40 days after Yud Zayin B'Talmuz, which is today, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hashem said to Moshe, come back. I'm going to give you a second chance. So now we begin to see why Elul is such an opportune time, because historically, this was the day that Hashem said, come back. Let's try this again. Moshe then went up for another 40 days, 40 nights, and comes back down with the second set of Luchos 40 days later. Anybody know what's 40 days later? Of course, it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur didn't just become Yom Kippur haphazardly. Yom Kippur became Yom Kippur because of the sequence of what happened. And Hashem basically presented this unique challenge to our ancestors during these 40 days, between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Yom Kippur. Fix your problems, deal with your issues, renew your relationship with me. We were given a second chance, just like Alfred Nobel, right, to deal with our inner problems and issues and reconnect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, with God, with our fellow human being. And, you know, we all have dreams. We all have goals. And we don't always reach all of them. And sometimes we let ourselves down in some kind of way. But these 40 days come to us every single year. And they present us with the opportunity to reconnect and to draw closer to Hashem on one of the most important days of the year to be able to do this. And I want to share something else about Elul itself. So there's a very famous acronym, Anila Dodiva Dodili. I'm for my beloved is for me. If you take the four letters of the Hebrew word Elul, the month we're in, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, it stands for this famous acronym from Shir HaShirim, from King Solomon's Song of Songs. I'm for my beloved, Anila Dodi, the Dodi Li, and my beloved is for me. Right, so Elul is a time of closeness with our beloved. Now, Elul is also an acronym I mentioned for another important pasuk, which is Ish L'Re'eyu U'Matanot Le'Evyonim, one person for his friend and gifts to the poor, which represents another way of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God during this time. And that's not by fine-tuning our relationship with Hashem, but fine-tuning our relationship with our fellow human being, because we can't stand before God without first standing before, without first taking care of our issues and our problems with our fellow human being. And we're given a second chance. And I was sharing this with one of my sons, who also explained that the idea of second chances is also reflected in the concept of Pesach Sheni. Right, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all of Klal Yisrael this one night of the year to bring the Karban Pesach, the Paschal offering, on the 15th of Nisan. But then a group the next year came to Moshe and they complained and they said, Lama Nigara, why are we being deprived? They were Tamei Lemeit, they were ritually impure, they had come into contact with the dead, and therefore they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach, they couldn't bring the Paschal offering. And they said, is it fair that we're gypped out of this beautiful mitzvah? And Moshe went to Hashem, and Hashem said, you know what? We're going to establish a special day for anyone who was not worthy to bring the Paschal offering on the night of Pesach. We're going to have a second Pesach, a Pesach Sheni. And that Pesach Sheni lasted for centuries. As long as the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was always an opportunity, always a second chance for a Jew to come back to God if he couldn't be there the first time. And I think that's such a powerful idea. And these second chances are represented in the month of Elul, which, as I say, stands for two different famous psukim in the Torah. Ani l'dodi, v'dodi li. I am for my beloved is for me. And number two, ish l'rieu u'matanot levyonim. One person for his friend and gifts to the poor. Of course, that's a verse from Megillat Esther, from the scroll of Esther that we read on Purim, and that's the source that on Purim you have to make sure to give enough charity on the holiday of Purim. So we're really taking advantage of the power of these next 40 days. Now I want to share with you one last idea that I heard from a dear friend of mine, Rabbi Eitan Meir, and I shared it this past Shabbos at MGE. Those of you, again, unfamiliar, I'm a rabbi coming to you from New York City, from Manhattan. And the organization I run is called Manhattan Jewish Experience. If anybody is ever in the city, in Manhattan, meet a beautiful minyan every Friday night at 7:15, every Shabbos morning at 9:30. We have classes during the week. And I mentioned this past Shabbos that if you take the word Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, and you spell it backwards, what does it spell? Spells Lo, Lu, and lo. Really, I mean, the way you'd pronounce it is lule. But lu means to him, and le means no, which means another way of saying if not, if only not. I know it's like a weird thing, but think about it. We live this kind of lifestyle, if only not. If only I wasn't, I don't know, born to this family, and I was born to a wealthier family, I'd have more money. If only I was smarter, God made me a little smarter, I would be more successful in my career. If only I was this, if only that. You know, we live these kind of lulei types of existence all year long. And once a year, the month of Elul comes to us and says, you've got it all backwards. You have exactly what you need. You have exactly what you want, what you need in life, to be able to develop yourself in the way you want. It's not lule, it's not if only, it's Elul. You have exactly, embrace your reality. And that's going to be one of the beautiful entries. I'm going to leave that for Rabbi Plotzker to talk about probably tomorrow, or maybe, I think that's day four actually. You'll see it's a beautiful teaching, I don't want to give it away, but it's a very, very important idea in Judaism and in psychology, that we embrace our reality, that we try to not fight the deck of cards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in life, but embrace the deck of cards. And I spoke about it this past Shabbos because it was Parshas Re'eh. And Re'eh, God tells the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm placing before you Hayom Bracha U'Klala, I'm placing before you a blessing and a curse. And a lot of us think that the blessings and the curses are just, well, you know, God dishes out whatever kind of circumstances of life. But the most important thing, where we really have bechira, where we really have free will, is not the deck of cards. It's not how rich or poor. It's not the job that we have. It's not how much money we make. It's what we do with a deck of cards. And I quoted a great teacher of our generation, Rebbetzin Youngreis, who was a great personality within the world of Kiruv, of outreach. And she used to say, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a cab driver. It matters what kind of doctor, what kind of lawyer, what kind of cab driver. And that you have bechira over. That you have free will. You and I, all of us listening to this, we may not have total bechira in what we look like, how much weight we can lift, how smart we are. Some of that is just genetics. Some of that is just circumstances, the family we were born into. You know, we don't really have bechira over everything, but we have bechira over the most important thing, and that is the choices we make in life. And that's the famous line from the Gemara, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is in Hashem's hands, Chutz Mirat Shemayim, except for the fear of Hashem. Meaning, the way we look, or maybe even how much money we make, or the, you know, or how strong we are, or how wise we are, some of that is Bidei Shemayim. A lot of that is really in Hashem's hands. But what Hashem gives over to us to decide is how to use those different keys and tools to life, and how to deal with whatever challenges that we have in life. I also call the book the 40-day challenge, because it's not just a challenge to get through the 40 days. It's the challenge to use the challenges. The great Ramchal, Rabbeinu Moshe Chaim Lutzatzo, famously said that every person's life predicament is their challenge. And each of us is given exactly what we need in life to challenge us to be able to develop ourselves in the way that our souls uniquely need to be developed. And he went on to say that the rich are tested to see if they become indifferent to the plight of the poor, and the poor are tested to see if they can be samech b'chelko, if a person can learn to be happy with the little that they have. Every one of us is given a different test in life, and we get to choose, not the deck of cards. That's Bidei Shemayim, but Yirat Shemayim. Yirat Shemayim means the reverence we have for God, the value system, how we choose to deal with the circumstances of our lives. And my bracha to all of you is that we take these next 40 days and we utilize and we think to ourselves, how can I use whatever my strengths and my resources are, and what are my challenges? What am I missing from my life? And why is that missing? And how do I somehow grow from that situation? Because according to the Ramchal, if that's your matzav, if that's your situation, it was meant to somehow be learned from and developed from and grown from. Every situation, nothing happens haphazardly. Everything happens for a reason. And my bracha to all of you. And I thank you all for coming on and for committing, Bli Neder, to come on as many nights as possible to continue to learn with Rabbi Plotzker. It's a big, big zechus for me to participate. I just got this phone call from this amazing guy, Jake Wyman, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing his name, but he's a very L'shem Shemayim guy who started Sheer Enjoyment, this wonderful, wonderful website that he's involved with. Thousands of people are learning Torah all the time. Should continue to grow, Michael Chayil. Use the 40 days. Study the piece of Torah every day. Come on to this phone call every night at 6 o'clock. Learn some more Torah. And then that's a chus. All of us should be prepared this year for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in a way we've never been prepared before. All of us should be able to grab onto the power of Elul. Ani lo dodi v'dodi li, I'm for my beloved is for me. That we should do something for our fellow Jew, our fellow human being, Ish l'Rehu matanot le'evyonim, and amidst Hashem, through embracing our reality and through learning Torah each day and answering the little challenge question that I put at the end of each chapter. That challenge question is there to help all of us personalize the teaching, right? Torah is not supposed to be academic. It's supposed to really apply to our lives and help us grow spiritually. But remember that there are things that each of us is missing. And we could cry over it, and we could lament it, and we could, you know, lule it, the opposite of Elul. Because if not for this, if not, everything would be fine if only, if only, if only. Elul is the time when we say, I've got exactly what I need. I'm going to do the best that I can with what I've got. to be the best possible version of myself, and to stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu this year in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and to be given a beautiful year to come, and it should be a good Gebench to you, a happy and sweet, happy, healthy year for all of Klal Yisrael, for the entire world, in the zechus of our collective learning together. We should all go mechayel el chayel, from strength to strength. Thank you all for participating and for listening. Have a good night.